Texas EAA chapters say that after 46 years, the Southwest Regional fly-in is over. Fort Lauderdale loses its Air and Sea Show for lack of a title sponsor. And President Bush signs the Pilots Over 60 bill into law. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 17th, 2007. Stan Shannon, chairman and CEO of the Southwest Regional Fly-In Incorporated, also known as the EAA Texas Fly-In, informed ANN over the weekend that the group's officers and directors have voted to cancel the 2008 event and cease operations. An official statement cited declining attendance numbers and difficulty attracting volunteers for the annual event in Hondo, Texas, but also the loss of EAA support and insurance. Quote, EAA headquarters decided to cease branding regional fly-ins as EAA events. EAA will no longer insure regional events. The board felt that losing the EAA brand would make it increasingly difficult to obtain sponsors, exhibitors, and volunteers, unquote. Shannon said the group is debt-free and will continue to support youth in aviation. To that end, the board of directors voted to create a youth scholarship fund. How those scholarships will be funded going forward was not addressed. The group's EAA Young Eagles Hondo Aviation Day will continue as planned and is scheduled for March 15, 2008. The Fort Lauderdale Air and Sea Show will not go on as scheduled in 2008 for lack of a title sponsor. Organizers told the South Florida Sun-Sentinel, rising fuel costs and a general downturn in the nation's economy are to blame for the end of the 13-year event. Mickey Markoff is president of MDM Limited, the promotional firm that has held the event since 1995. Quote, it's just not economically viable to produce without a title sponsor. We don't have the capacity or financing to put on the show, unquote. A change in leadership at McDonald's ended that company's six-year sponsorship. The city of Fort Lauderdale also withdrew what had reportedly been $500,000 in support for the event this year, including police and fire support. Residents who love the show are mourning its loss after 13 years, while others who resented the traffic and noise are happy. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Jim Noggle acknowledged the opposition, but added, quote, it had a great run in the city. It's a beautiful setting for an air show with the ocean there. Who knows, maybe we'll have another one someday, unquote. Once the effort to raise the mandatory retirement age for airline pilots from 60 to 65 got separated out of the FAA reauthorization, it proved to have little political resistance. On Thursday evening, President Bush signed the law, which had sailed through the House and Senate this past week. As we've covered at length here on ANN, the bill discourages already retired pilots from coming back to work, requiring them to apply anew and start at the bottom of the seniority list. But it will allow many pilots who are facing forced retirement soon to stay in the cockpit another 5 years, which is a pretty big deal for pilots whose pensions were wiped out when their airlines declared bankruptcy. The change was originally attached to FAA reauthorization legislation, which stalled in both houses over the summer. The FAA issued a brief statement applauding the change, noting congressional action had avoided what could have been a lengthy federal rulemaking process. A German newspaper reported Sunday that European plane maker Airbus plans to sell four of its factories to U.S.-based Spirit AeroSystems Holdings this week. Reuters reports Airbus chief Tom Enders predicting a deal could be complete by Friday. The Airbus factories in question were at Varel, Nordenham, and Augsburg in Germany, and Filton in Britain. Enders is said to have favored Spirit because of its expertise in carbon fiber technology. Airbus is struggling to recover from costly delays to its A380 Super Jumbo jet and the downturn of the U.S. dollar against the euro. EADS recovery plan, called Power 8, calls for the sale or partnering of several Airbus factories and trimming of 10,000 jobs. Spirit Aerospace is a major supplier to both Airbus and Boeing. Spirit acquired the wing-making unit of former EADS partner BAE Systems in 2006 to win supply agreements with Airbus. Earlier this year, unions protested the consideration of Spirit as a partner or buyer for the plants involved in the deal now rumored. Up next on ANN, Alaskan pilots fight to keep the U.S. Air Force from closing an important Victor airway. Another police department asks the FAA for UAVs. And the airlines say holiday air traffic will be about the same as last year. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 17th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Alaskan interior will be the site of some major aerial training sessions by the Air Force next year, and that concerns the general aviation community in Alaska. Brigadier General Mark W. Graper, commander of the 354th Fighter Wing at Eielson Air Force Base, says the Air Force will conduct red flag training in which Eielson pilots will prepare squadrons from bases all over the nation for combat. The exercise uses the Delta Temporary Military Operations Area. Within it lies Victor Airway 444, a crucial IFR route for pilots flying to and from Alaska and Canada. The Alaska Airmen's Association and the AOPA, as well as the Air Force, have asked pilots to comment on a proposal to make this a temporary military operations area four times a year for fighter, bomber, and cargo aircraft operations affecting transit along this flight path. A comment deadline of December 31st has been set by the FAA. Send yours to Alaska Flight Service Information Area Group, AAL 530, 222 West 7th Avenue, Anchorage, Alaska, 99513-7687. In North Little Rock, Arkansas, Police Chief Danny Bradley is trying to decide whether to buy two specially outfitted unmanned helicopters from Rotomotion LLC of Charleston, South Carolina. The North Little Rock Times reports the department may receive federal funds to buy them if the FAA issues the department a waiver. The FAA is currently working with police to test UAVs in Houston, Texas, and Miami, Florida, using those departments as a pilot program to come up with operator training and flight regulations for law enforcement use of UAVs. The Rotomotion craft weighs 35 pounds, can be controlled from a laptop or a dedicated handheld controller, and can be programmed for autonomous flight, including reversion to a hover or a programmed return home if it loses its control signal. Police Chief Bradley says he wants to consider two gas-powered Rotomotion UAVs at $130,000 to $150,000 each, one with a 21-power zoom daytime camera, the other with a thermal imaging camera for night use. The Air Transport Association predicts this holiday season will see U.S. airline travel nearly flat from last year, rising from 47 to 47.2 million passengers. That's an increase of less than 0.5% from 2006. The group, whose member airlines claim more than 90% of all passenger and cargo business, say holiday travel will remain strong despite higher fuel costs and signs the U.S. economy is slowing. The official period is considered to be December 13th through January 2nd. ATA predicts the four busiest days during the winter travel period will be January 2nd, December 21st, December 27th, and December 26th, each averaging more than 2.5 million passengers. Christmas and Christmas Eve will be the least busy, each with an average of 1.9 million passengers. Once we get past the holidays, ATA says the airline business will grow 2 to 3% in 2008 compared to this year. Officials in Kansas City, Missouri have received notice from the FAA that a new bridge planned across the Missouri River will pose a hazard to navigation for planes operating at Charles B. Wheeler Downtown Airport. Unfortunately, the city never told the FAA about the plan until August, a month after the construction contract had already been awarded. The $245 million Paseo Bridge will have support towers reaching 220 feet above ground. The FAA says anything over 96 feet is a hazard. Project Director Brian Kidwell says the towers need to be 220 feet tall to serve as a landmark in keeping with the importance of the Missouri River crossing. Mark Van Lowe, director of the Kansas City Aviation Department, tells the Kansas City Star that the bridge could pose a hazard to planes taking off and landing on the airport's main runway, but that it may be feasible to route traffic to the west over Kansas. In any event, he says, quote, "I am confident we'll get this worked out," unquote. Still ahead, the National Aviation Hall of Fame names its class of 2008. AOPA launches a TV campaign to educate America about general aviation. And NASA announces plans for a Tuesday spacewalk. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 17, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The National Aviation Hall of Fame revealed its class of 2008 Friday evening at a dinner celebrating the 104th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first powered flight. Colonel Clarence E. Bud Anderson, U.S. Air Force retired, is a World War II triple ace and experimental test pilot. Herb Kelleher co-founded Southwest Airlines. For the 11th year in a row, Fortune magazine's survey of all industries has recognized Southwest as fifth on its list of America's top 10 most admired corporations. The late William A. Moffett is widely recognized as the father of naval aviation, responsible for creating the organization and infrastructure on which naval aviation was built during World War II. And Sean D. Tucker has performed aerobatics in air shows and competitions for three decades. Over half of Tucker's maneuvers are original and have never been duplicated by any other aerobatic pilot. Their formal enshrinement will take place in Dayton, the birthplace of aviation, on Saturday, July 19, 2008, where they'll join the 195 Legends of Flight previously honored by the National Aviation Hall of Fame. There's more detail on all their bios at our website at aero-news.net. On the 104th anniversary of Orville and Wilbur Wright's first flight, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has a reminder for America. In the words of Karen Gebhardt, AOPA Executive Vice President of Communications, quote, "Americans' freedom to fly for business, charity, and pleasure surpasses that of any other nation and contributes mightily to our nation's economic growth. These new commercials explain the many facets of general aviation and the critical role it plays in our society," unquote. What she's talking about is a new television ad campaign from AOPA. Six 30-second TV commercials will begin airing today and run through January 2nd. Seen exclusively on the Weather Channel, the ads are expected to reach more than 30 million viewers across the United States. In addition to creating awareness about general aviation, the spots will direct viewers to the GA Serving America website for additional information about the general aviation industry. This is AOPA's sixth holiday season ad campaign. An important spacewalk outside the International Space Station is scheduled for Tuesday. Station Commander Peggy Whitson and Flight Engineer Dan Tanney will perform the 100th spacewalk in support of ISS to inspect the starboard solar alpha rotary joint and the beta gimbal assembly. The SARJ and the BGA have been temporarily locked in place after debris found around the joint revealed the bearing surfaces were grinding away. The array was locked in place to stop further damage. The array continues to produce power, but it reduced efficiency since it can't move to track the station's position relative to the sun. Station Program Deputy Manager Kirk Shireman calls Tuesday's spacewalk a fact-finding mission. The spacewalkers will report back to ground controllers what they find, and specialists on the ground will determine how best to restore the starboard solar array's sun-tracking capability. And finally, for a while last week, it looked as though NASA might have bigger problems, much bigger. While engineers wrestled with fuel tank sensor problems, which have delayed the launch of the shuttle Atlantis, horrified NASA TV viewers saw a giant spider crawl across their screens and devour the spacecraft on the launch pad. Well, maybe horrified if they've watched too many 1960s vintage Japanese sci-fi movies. For the rest of us, watching the normal-sized spider crawling across the lens of NASA's launch cam was good for 26 seconds of laughter. Actually, though, there are some giant bugs in Florida. They have big flying cockroaches the locals call palmetto bugs, but they're not big enough to devour a shuttle. And they also have a very odd insect known for flying by in pairs, stuck together, actually mating while in flight. They're called love bugs. If a pair of those ever parks on NASA's launch cam lens, you might think you've tuned in to the wrong cable channel. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller about the importance of wind awareness while you're in the air and the special challenges posed by inclined runways. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.